The last time that we looked at the book of Exodus, we saw Moses called by God. He saw the burning bush. And then that shocked him. Wow, I'm going to go see. You know, truthfully, he didn't have to go see, but he did. He went to see. Gosh, what's this all about? God then spoke to him and said, why don't you do this? Moses said, I can't. I'm nobody. And you remember all the excuses that he used. Finally, he just said, I don't want to send somebody else. And God, angry, says, look, your brother speaks very well. I'll send him with you. And Moses said, okay. So they went and they talked to the children of Israel. And at the end of the chapter, chapter 4, remember the children of Israel said, okay, we believe it. We see a little leprosy in his hand, a little stick turning into a rod, turning into a snake there. We see it. Cool. Now they believe. Just a few simple miracles under your belt, and they believe. And we begin chapter 5 this way. Oh, by the way, ending chapter 4, remember, when they saw that God was paying attention to them and had heard their cry, they worshipped. And you and I should do the same. Like, we cry out to God. When He shows us that He's listening, and He always shows you somehow, worship Him, praise Him. Have you ever gone to church? Not necessarily this one, but some. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, boy, I don't think I'm going to make it. And then the pastor is teaching away and all of a sudden the pastor says, now you're probably thinking, boy, I don't think I'm going to make it. And you go, whoa! Who told him? That was God. Showing you, I'm paying attention to you. It's all right. I'm hearing. I know what you're feeling. I know what it's like. It's okay. Praise Him. Worship Him at that point. When we're through with our Bible study, we do a short time of praise and worship after. Worship Him for what He does. Don't just go, how do you do that? We've had people visit our church, sit there, leave, and yell at their friends. All right. Oh, real cute. Okay, you told him about me and what's her name, didn't you? Okay, you told him. No, I never mentioned it. Well, how did he know that? I don't know what you're talking about. God will do that. He does it quite often. He wants us to know. He's paying attention. He knows what's going on in your life and mine. So, the children of Israel worship God. They bow their heads and they worship. And chapter 5 begins this way. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said this, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Thus saith the Lord God, tell him, Aaron. And Aaron spoke and said, thus saith the Lord God, you let my people go. And Pharaoh answered back, not necessarily out of anger, but Pharaoh does speak the truth. Who is this Lord God? I mean, we worship all kinds of them here. There's the God of the sun, the God of the moon. There's the God of the flowers, the God of the trees. There's the God of rocks. There's a God of little bugs. There's the God of the air. There are the God of the stars. There's the God of this and the God of that. There's the God of the waters. There is the God of the rain. Well, who is this God? I don't know this one. Pharaoh, a little bit arrogant, but he said the truth. I don't know this God. Why should I listen to Him? Well, good question. We'll show you. And that's the attitude they take. They humbly answer back. The God of the Hebrews have met with us. Let us go. We pray you. We're begging you. We ask you politely. 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest He fall upon us with pestilence or with sword. In other words, we want to serve our God. We haven't really been, and we need to, because He is an awesome God. He's powerful. King of Egypt said, wherefore do you, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you to your burdens? Moses and Aaron, you're wasting my time and you're keeping the people from working. They're building stuff for me. I'm the king. I'm Pharaoh. So get out of here. And Pharaoh decrees, you know what? These Israelites, they've got too much time on their hands. They have too much time. I mean, we're working them hard. These taskmasters were hard masters, and they were working them hard. And Pharaoh says, we must not be working them hard enough. They got time to sit around in the evening and come up with these things. They should be going home eating and going to bed because they're so tired. We need to get with it. So keep making bricks. Here's the order. You got to keep making bricks, but we're not going to bring you any straw.
You've got to now go out and get your own straw and make the same amount of bricks or you'll be in trouble.
And that's what's going on. And when the Israelites hear that, they try to make it, but they're not making the tally. They aren't making enough bricks.
And they come, and the taskmasters are beating them, starting to hit them and beat them with whips. Work harder. Hey, we don't have any straw. Go get it. Though they come before Pharaoh, the chiefs, the leaders of Israel. Say, this isn't right. We're not making enough bricks, but it's not our fault, it's your fault. You're not providing the straw. And Pharaoh says, you're lazy bums. You want to go out and worship your God? You got too much free time? Keep making the same amount of bricks, but we won't give you the straw. So the children of Israel left, and they were really burdened by this. Have you ever experienced it in your life? What's he talking about? God, I'm under pressure. Help me. Help me. God says, I will. And then, the next day, things are three times harder than they were the day before. Has it happened to you yet? It's very common. Lord, get me out from under this. God says, okay. Oh, wait a minute. It's heavier now. Hold it. What are you doing? And we start whining and moaning even more. Oh, my. Oh, whoa, whoa. Almost sorry that we have. How many of you have ever said out loud, oh, I'm so sorry I asked for patience? Don't lie to me. Yes, you have. Of course you have. Oh, don't pray for patience, brother. You'll get it. Like, that's the only thing you're going to ask for. God's really going to answer. Oh, you want? Oh, miserable? We're the weirdest critters. Oh, don't pray for patience. But you pray because you're under bondage or being persecuted or in pain or suffering somehow. And all of a sudden, God heard you and you think, thank you for hearing me, Lord. Thank you. And it seems like the next day, things are worse than they were before. Wait, what's going on? So bad, so that they went to Moses and said, Moses, quit it. Whatever you're doing, quit it. Whatever you said to Pharaoh, stop it. This is too much for us. We can't take it. We're being beaten. They met Moses in verse 20 and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh, and they said to them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. Now you just did, Moses, what God said to do. You're really thanking the Lord. Man, the Lord told me to go do this. And I went into Pharaoh and I did it. And he and Aaron, as they walk out, find out, oh my gosh, it didn't do a good thing. It did a bad thing. Thanks, Moses. God judge you. You know, they're hoping that Moses will have a car accident. That's what they're hoping. You know, before you got here, Moses, we were just under pressure and hating it. And now we're miserable and being beaten. And Moses didn't know what to do, and he's very wise. He returned to the Lord. He cried out to God, said, Lord, why have you done this evil? Why have you treated these people so evilly? Why is it that you have sent me? Since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Lord, you didn't deliver your people. You told me to go into Pharaoh, and I did it. And I thought they were going to walk out and go to the promised land, but it didn't happen. I'm confused. Ever happened to you? Ask God to use you, and all of a sudden you're under arrest? You think, wait a minute, I'm confused. Well, wait, we're not finished with you yet. The Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. God says, oh, Moses, you're going to love this. This is going to be cool. What? Not only is Pharaoh going to let them go, but he's going to kick them out. He's going to want them to hurry and get out as fast as they can go. He's going to want them to get out of his sight. Oh, you're going to love this, Moses. Hey, write down in your Bible, in beginning of chapter 6, verse 1, right down on the edge, Moses has no idea how many plagues there will be. Did you know that? Plagues are coming up. God knows all about them. Moses doesn't know. Moses doesn't know how long it's going to take to get out of here. Okay, God says not only is he going to want them to go, but he's going to practically kick them out. But Moses doesn't know at this point what it's going to take. He's just doing what God said to do.
Now, when you begin to do what God says to do, you and I sort of think, well, I'm doing what God says. Everything's supposed to get easy. Where does it say so? Show me Scripture that's supposed to get easy. Now, I follow God so it gets easy. Where does it say that? Matter of fact, you see, you follow God and it gets a little more difficult. And because it gets difficult, and that's the enemy, because it gets difficult, people quit. I give up. And you sometimes are guilty of thinking the Word of God doesn't work. Moses could say that right here. God, you said, you gave me your word that Pharaoh would let them go. I said what you told me to do, and Pharaoh didn't let them go. God says, oh, but watch. You will see, Moses. Just watch. God spoke to Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Now, you would think, not to judge Moses, but you would think, when God said to Moses, I am the Lord, that would be enough. Wouldn't you think that? Now, I know it's not enough for you, but I mean, a guy like Moses, you would think that if God said, hey, I'm God, I'm the Lord, that would be enough. That would settle everything. Lord, you're right. Just forget I even brought up. That's enough. I am the Lord. But it's not enough for Moses. And by the way, we are all guilty of the fact that when God said to you and me, you and I, us, I am the Lord, we said that is not enough. It is not enough. I am hurting. I'm angry. I'm confused. I'm frustrated. I'm under pressure. That's not enough. What do you mean? I'm God. Sit down. Relax. I am God. That's not enough. Couldn't you do something? Who am I talking to? Wait a minute. I am the Lord, Moses. I'm the Lord. That should just settle it right there. And God said this, I appeared to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob by the name God Almighty. Or you would read, in the language of original, you would read El Shaddai. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, and they recognized me as El Shaddai, the Almighty, all-powerful, big, strong provider, El Shaddai. But by my name, Jehovah, I was not known to them. Wow. He says, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they knew me as the Almighty One. I'm going to show you who I really am. Who are you? Jehovah. What does Jehovah mean? The one who exists. I am that I am. Always am, always will be, always have been. Haven't started, won't stop. I'm the existing one. There is nothing, by the way, if you'll stop and think about it, nothing beyond it. Nothing. Nothing over it, nothing under it, nothing around it. There's nothing greater. I'm the one that exists, Jehovah. So holy that the Israelites, the Jews, won't pronounce it. I've established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of the pilgrimage, of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage. And I've remembered my covenant. I've heard and I remember. Wherefore, say to the children of Israel, say this, I am the Lord. See, it should be enough for my people too. Just look at my people and say, how's it going? We're miserable. God says, don't worry, I am the Lord. Oh, well, great. So what? Notice how it doesn't mean anything to us if we're not careful. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will take you to me for a people, verse 7 says, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a heritage. And what does he say again, if you're a Bible underliner? I am the Lord. That's enough. When God tells you, you accept my Son and I give you eternal life, by faith. And I say, gosh, I believe, but I don't feel saved sometimes. And God says, well, that's okay. I am the Lord. He's saying that's enough. Is it enough? Moses spoke to the children of Israel. Now look closely. But they would not listen to Moses because they were because of the anguish of spirit and for the cruel bondage. The deliverer, the man that God sent, they wouldn't listen to him. Hey man, we're not interested in what you've got to say. All you're going to tell us is God said this, God said that. All you're going to tell us is the word. Oh, see, we need more. We need something else. Tell us something big. Tell us something we never heard before. Tell us something that rhymes. Use the letter P and make all the words. Prosperity, potters, and pornography. Just and do a whole Bible study and call it the triple P. Or do something really big and impress us. And having itching ears, they heap to themselves teachers in the last days. Having itching ears, they heap to themselves teachers. They listen to the certain ones on the radio. They make sure they collect certain tapes. And man, they're impressed. They're amazed. But it's not the Word of God, solid, steady. It's not there. Oh, it's thrown in. But it's not there. And they think they've been to church, and they think they've been to Bible study, and they think, and they think, and they think. And when a boring man of God comes along and says, oh man, he's God, trust him. People, come on, you don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows. You don't know. That's how hard it is for me. You don't know. Of course I don't know. Because I got my own troubles I'm going through. How could I know what you're going through? But I know that God said, I'll take care of it. I'm the Lord. But the children wouldn't listen. And so what we go through now, if you'll finish the rest of the chapter, you'll see a genealogy so that you can see again, and you can see this for yourself, where did Moses and Aaron, did they really belong? Now Moses is the writer. He throws in here, yes, this is really the Moses we're talking about. This is really the Aaron we're talking about. They really were Israelites. They really were from the tribe of Levi. Follow it for yourself, he says. And so now God says, go back to Pharaoh. He says in chapter 7, and the Lord said to Moses, I have made you a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet. In other words, you're going to speak for God, and Aaron's going to speak for you. Since you kind of requested that. You shall speak all that I command you. Aaron, your brother, will say it to Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart. So, the same word could be strengthen, embolden. Pharaoh's not going to go that way, and I will strengthen him in his decision. Multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not listen to you. Because see, God knows everything. He already knows what Pharaoh's going to say. So Moses and Aaron, verse 10, go on up to Pharaoh. They did as the Lord commanded them. Aaron threw down the rod. Remember when Pharaoh says, oh yeah, who is this God? Aaron throws the rod down before Pharaoh and before his servants, and the rod became a serpent. Remember that? A snake. A real live snake. A stick turns into a real live snake. Moses, when he saw that happen there by the burning bush, he ran away from it. Then Pharaoh called for the New Agers of that day. That's what they were. The wise men and the sorcerers, the same practices going on today, the occult practices, the magicians of Egypt, and lo and behold, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. They threw down every man, every one of the magicians, threw down their rod, and their rods became snakes also. What is Satan? He always copies, always. Never thinks of it first, copies it. Gives you a clue. God says, we'll turn that into a snake. Okay, then Satan and his minions and his ministers, they do the same thing. But here's something interesting. Aaron's rod swallowed up the other snakes. Swallowed them up. And when it turned back to a rod, it was all by itself. Not chubby or not anything. At least from what we can tell. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he listened not to them as the Lord had said. And the Lord said, verse 14, to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. Listen, everyone, he refuses to let the people go. This is a choice he's making. This is not something he's being forced to do. Pharaoh refuses. Let the people go. I don't want to. Verse 17, thus saith the Lord. In this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. So we got a plague coming. A plague is coming. Pharaoh could have let the people go. He said, no, I refuse. Okay? And we're going to turn the waters in the river to blood. And in verse 20, Moses and Aaron did so. As the Lord commanded, he lifted up the rod, smote the waters that were at the river. Pharaoh went out in the morning to worship the river god. The Nile was where Egypt thought all life came from. Many people today think all life came from water too. Think about it. Anyway, smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river turned to blood. Now I want you to know something. That's a plague. God says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, I don't want to. God says, if you don't, I will turn the waters in the river to blood. Pharaoh could have said, oh, okay, well, no, we don't have to go that far. Okay, let's discuss this. No, instead, I refuse to listen to you. Well, then, I'm going to do it. He was warned that the waters would turn to blood. And what happened? And all the waters that were in the river turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died, and the river stank. Didn't smell good. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Now the New Agers, the magicians of Egypt, they did so with their enchantments. They did the same thing. They turned water to blood. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he listen to them as the Lord said. You notice how Satan is coming in here, and when God does something, Satan does it. And so Pharaoh, who said, I don't know who this God is anyway. My magicians did that. And so he says, forget it. They can do that too. Now bring yourself back up into the 20th century, the 1990s, and realize that God says, don't practice witchcraft. Don't do it. Do not practice witchcraft. Deuteronomy 18. When I send you into the promised land that I'm going to give you, there shall not be found any of you who... You'll find a list, and in that list is anyone who practices witchcraft. Now read through the Bible anywhere in there, and you won't find witchcraft doesn't work. You won't find that anywhere. God didn't say it does not work. God didn't say there isn't some power out there. God said, you, my children, do not do it. Satan has a little bit of power. God lets him have it. And so Satan's doing some of the same little things here for show. And today we're seeing psychics are great, aren't they? Psychics are cool. I love them because they haven't got a clue. But they're going to tell you your future. But you always have to tell them something. You call them or whatever you do and you say, okay, tell me my future. And they say, well, tell me your birthday. Uh-uh. If you know, if you're a psychic, you tell me my birthday. No, come on. I got to know your sign. I'm the sign of the cross. Well, there's no reading for that. Okay, well, okay. Tell me something about yourself. Mm-mm. No, you tell me. Oh, that's not fair. You don't know a thing. You don't know the end from the beginning. The power you're working with is fake. It's false. Oh, there's a little show there, a little glitter, but we're not scared of you. I remember a little bitty girl looking at me one time. She was tiny. And I'm the pastor of the church. I'm big. And I said, young lady, you'll need to get away from there. She put her hands on her hips, and they were under her arms. You know how there's no hips when you're there. She goes, you don't scare me. And I think that sometimes when I see these Satanists, we're going to put a spell on you. Right. Go for it. You don't scare me. Pilate who said to Jesus, why don't you answer, man? Don't you know I have the power to put you to death? What did Jesus say? Everybody, you would have no power if my Father didn't give it to you, if it wasn't given to you. You don't scare me. Go for it. Whatever God lets you do, you'll do. And whatever God doesn't want you to do, you won't. I'm fine. He is my God. And God says, I'm the Lord. So the river turns to blood, and the magicians do the same thing. So Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He did it himself. And he turned and he went his way. And this lasted 7 days. But they were warned. Chapter 8, you see some of the same things. Hey, I'm going to smite all the border with frogs. I'm going to send frogs in on the land. Another warning. Pharaoh says, I don't care. I'm not going to let them go. So Aaron, verse 6, stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. So every place you stepped was a frog. Every time you sat down, there was a frog. You go to bed, there's a frog. It's just covered with slimy frog. That probably was noisy, too. French restaurants were probably thrilled, but other than that, I don't know. It was a plague. It was a joke. If you're French, excuse me. S'il vous plaît. And look at this. I like this. And the magicians did so with their enchantments. The magicians made frogs. So the New Agers, the occultists of that day, they made frogs too. So Pharaoh says, I'm not impressed. But wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said this, please ask the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that you may do sacrifice to the Lord. Hey, you notice how God only lets the enemy do what God says is okay? Satan is on a leash, and he only goes just as far as God says he can go. Here's something cool. In case you didn't notice it, the New Agers, the Chaldeans, the magicians of that day, they could make the frogs, but they couldn't get rid of them. And Pharaoh says, get rid of the frogs now. And the guys are going, we know how to get them here, but we don't know any formulas for getting rid of them. Never got that one. He had to call for Moses and Aaron and say, okay, well, they kind of matched your trick here, but get rid of them, okay? Because they can't. God says, I'm tired of playing, Satan. Go ahead, try to get rid of them. You can't. So he calls for Moses and Aaron and says, please get rid of them. I'll let the people go. And Moses, kind of not being smart, but kind of an interesting thing, Moses says to Pharaoh, you glory over me. In other words, I'll take a place under you. You're king. I'll bow down before you. And you tell me, when shall I entreat for you, for your servants and for your people, to destroy the frogs from thee and the houses, that they may remain only in the river. He says, I'll tell you what, Pharaoh, since your boys can't do it, I'll show you my God. I'll let you pick the time you want the frogs to go away. You tell me when you want them to go, I'll call out to God and they'll go. To show you God is the power we're dealing with here. And so Pharaoh says, tomorrow morning. I would have said, see, I don't know what kind of thinking. I'd say, get the frogs out now for crying out loud. But maybe he liked French restaurants. Anyway, he says, tomorrow. Moses said, be it according to your word, that you may know that there is none like to God, to the Lord our God. You got to know there is none like God. And Pharaoh says, go ahead, get rid of them, and I'll let the people go. And so, the next day, the Lord did, verse 13, according to the word of Moses. Moses said, take the frogs away. And the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, out of the fields. And they gathered them together in heaps, and the land was stinking. Now, when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, or they got a break and the frogs were gone, he hardened his own heart. He lied. And he hearkened not to them, as the Lord had said. He said, I'll let the people go. And when the frogs were gone, he just said, forget it, changed my mind. He hardened his own heart. Now look at verse 16 and think about this and apply it to today. The Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout the entire land of Egypt. There's something about this plague, and I read it to you slowly, both verses, so you wouldn't miss it. There's something about this plague that I think It's heavy. God said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, no, I won't even consider it. If you don't, I'll turn the water to blood. I don't care. Do it anyway. Waters turned to blood. Magicians did it. 7 days the waters were blood, the Bible says. Okay. Let my people go. No, I won't even consider it. No. If you don't, I will send frogs into the land. I don't care. Send frogs. God did. But when they couldn't get rid of the frogs, okay. Ask God to get rid of them, and I'll let your people go. Okay, call out to God. God got rid of them. All right, I'm not going to let your people go. Tough. I'm king. I can do what I want. The third plague, listen, there was no warning. If you don't do this, I will do that. Forget it. If you don't do this, I will do that. Forget it. Third plague came out of nowhere, no warning. Lice all over. Now, do you wonder what's going on in the United States of America when God warns and warns, and some of these things come out of nowhere? Third plague, there was no warning. There were lice. And the third plague, God says, I don't like the way you're doing this, Pharaoh. And you'll notice this. The magicians... And the magicians, verse 18, did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't match this one. There was no warning, and the magicians couldn't match it. Interesting, huh? Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. And now God warns them again, let my people go. No, I'm not interested in letting people go. If you don't, I will send flies, swarms of flies. These are the biting kind of flies, according to the language here. I will sever in that day, verse 22, the land of Goshen, which is where the Israelites were living, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth, and I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. You've got till tomorrow. If you don't let my people go, tomorrow flies will inhabit, and maggots and the works will inhabit this land, but not my people. Everything will be fine there. And the Lord did so, which means Pharaoh wouldn't listen. And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servant's house and into all the land of Egypt. And the land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. I give up, but I won't let you go. I'll just let you sacrifice right here in Egypt. You notice the compromise? Okay, go, but I won't let you leave the borders. And Moses, everybody... Moses would not accept a compromise. He was willing to suffer. He was willing to stay there and be frustrated and be put down and go over and over. He said, no, I'm not going to accept anything less. This is what God says, and that's all that God will accept. And I will accept nothing less. Moses said, it shall not be. It is not meet to do so, or so to do. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and they will, or won't they stone us? The things that we do are different than the way the Egyptians do them. It's not going to work. It'll offend them. We must leave your property and your land. We will go, verse 27, 3 days' journey into the wilderness. Pharaoh said, no. Pharaoh hardened his heart, verse 32, at this time also, neither would he let the people go. The Lord said to Moses in chapter 9, go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. If you refuse to let them go and hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the donkeys, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain, disease, among the animals. And the Lord shall sever between, verse 4 says, the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. And there shall nothing die that is of the children of Israel.
God says, when I send the disease into the land, none of the Israeli animals will die. Whatever kind they are. Sheep, goats, donkeys, cattle, whatever. None of them will die, but yours will be diseased.
And the Lord appointed a set time. He said, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land.
Meaning, today you can let my people go and you don't have to let this happen. I'll give you to tomorrow. You may not have picked up on this, and the reason I wanted to do all these plagues tonight is to show you that God is being so full of mercy. Let my people go, that's all I'm asking you. No, if you don't, I'll do this. I don't care. And then it happens and it's miserable. And then there's a let up. And God says, all right, now let them go. No, if you don't, I'll do that. I don't care. Some of you, right now, are living alive. And you may think, oh yeah, I'm walking with God. Fine. But listen, God is saying, this is what I want you to do. And you're saying, no. He loves you. He's merciful. He says, if you don't, this is what will be. I don't care. When it happens, you cry out, what's wrong? And God lets off. And are you hardening your heart again, saying, I don't care, I'm still not wrong. I am right, I'll die right. Go ahead, go for it. Pharaoh's going to die right, in his opinion. That's not humility. That's not what God has called us to. And that's what we're being to pick up on here. Well, there are many things, but that's another one of the things to grab. All right, where are we? Let's see. Oh, and verse 6 says, the Lord did the thing on the next day. All the cattle of Egypt died. That means, when we say all, we're not reading the word every entire cow, etc. But the majority of them died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel, not one died. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. You'd think that would change his mind, but it just made him say, that's it, man, these people make me sick. I'm going to make them work harder. I'm going to make sure they're miserable. And the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron, look closely. Take two handfuls of ashes of the furnace and let Moses sprinkle it toward heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become dust in the land of Egypt and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout the whole land. Once again, no warning. Just go and do this now. No warning. Do it in front of Pharaoh. Don't even tell him what you're doing. Just spread the dust. Next thing you know, people are going to have miserable boils on their skin and animals also. And they did it. And the magicians, by the way, not only could they not do this also, but they couldn't stand before Moses because they had boils themselves. God says, you know, I've been merciful, but we're going to increase the pressure. I'm telling you, I want my people to serve me. And the magicians were upon all the Egyptians. Or the magicians, the boils and the magicians too, I suppose. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. In other words, strengthened his heart in the direction it was already going. And he listened not to them as the Lord had spoken to Moses. And God says, by the way, to Pharaoh, look at this, verse 16, in very deed, for this cause have I raised you up to show in you my power. And that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. God is saying, you have chosen this, and I will use this as an opportunity to show the whole world what I can do. I'll show the world I am the Lord. Look what I can do. Look how simple this is for me.
Behold now, because you're exalting yourself. He says, now take, behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as has never been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even till now. Send therefore, now listen everyone, this is mercy. I'm going to send hail and fire mixed with it. Never seen anything like that. And I'm going to do it. So God says, send now. Therefore, and gather your cattle and all that you have in the field. For upon every man and beast which shall be found outside in the field shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. Listen, everyone, Egyptian and Israeli alike, well, Egyptian, will lead the Israelis out for right now because they're being set aside. He that feared the word of the Lord, this is the Egyptians now, among the servants of Pharaoh, made his servants and his cattle flee to the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. I'm going to send hail and fire down out of the sky. Now I'm warning you, it's going to happen about this time tomorrow. So if I'm God, you got a choice of what you're going to do about it. The people that believed the word of God went and got their servants and their animals and took them inside. People have said, oh, big deal, left them outside. And I always think about that. When I read this, I think about today. Every one of us sitting in this room have the Word of God. And there are some who will say, okay. And there are some who say, no, God says, hey, I'm going to send hail. Say, I'm still not bringing my kids inside. Well, it's the Word of God. Oh, no. You know, you think after you saw the river turn to blood, frogs in the refrigerator, lice, flies, disease, and most of the animals die, boils on your own body. You'd think that after all that, and he said almost everyone would be, you think after that he says, now I'm going to send hail and fire. You think you'd go, whoa, you know, just to be on the safe side, I'm going to stay inside. But no, people died. They still went outside. They wouldn't believe. Are you that way? Are you that way? Are we that way when it comes to the Word of God? You know, that teaches me. I can see him do something 5 years in my life and still in the 6 years say, well, I'm not going to trust him. Nah. We always think, or we many times think, I'm a Christian, and so, big deal. Instead of saying, I'm a Christian, meaning, whatever he says, it's what I need to do by the power of his Holy Spirit. That's what I need to do. That's how important it is. I'm the Lord. Well, they wouldn't listen. Some people wouldn't listen. That amazes me. And they didn't. And it happened. Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven in verse 23. And the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire ran along upon the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there never was, none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. Except in the land of Goshen, verse 26, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. Do you believe him? Godly sorrow worketh to repentance. Most of the time we're just bummed because we're under pressure. Oh, I can't stand this anymore. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of it. And we don't want to do what God says. We just want out from under the pain and the frustration and the misery. We don't care what God says. Just stop this stuff. That's not the attitude of a true believer, though that's been the attitude of some of us throughout our Christian walk. And God's showing us we're no different. The land of the Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called Moses and said, I've sinned. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, beg the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail. I will let you go, and you will stay no longer. I'll let you go. Please stop this hail. Please beg God to stop it. I'll let you go. I'm a sinner. How many times has somebody said, oh, woe is me, I'm so bad, I'm this and that, only to turn around and do the same thing again, because all we're trying to do is get out from under the pressure. Whether it's pain, whether it's frustration, whether it's misery, whether it's sorrow, whatever it is, we're not trying to bring glory to God. Many times we're just trying to get out from under the pressure. And once we're out from under the pressure, what's that old movie? The guy's swimming in the water and a shark comes up after him and he starts praying. Oh, Lord, if you'll save me. You know, he's swimming for all he's worth. Save me and I'll give you all my life. And as he gets closer to the shore, his promises get less and less. By the time he's at the shore, shark's still in the water and he stands up, walks away, forgets everything he ever said to God. Pressure's off now. All I wanted was the pressure off. Don't want to be eaten by the shark. That's all. That's all that you're interested in. That's all that Pharaoh's interested in here. You'll see in a moment. Moses said to him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I'll spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that you may know how that the earth is the Lord's, belongs to the Lord. And when Pharaoh, verse 34, saw that the rain stopped, the thunder ceased, he sinned again. He hardened his own heart, he and his servants, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord had spoken. He lied again. God says, I've hardened Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh continues to choose that way. I'm strengthening him in that way. And that you may tell, verse 2, in the ears of your son and of your son's son, what things I have worked in Egypt and my signs that I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. I want you to tell your children God did this. Remind them of what I did. And what's going to happen now? Another warning. I'm going to bring locusts into the land, to the coast, and they shall cover the face of the earth, verses 4 and 5 say. Pharaoh says, I don't care. And Pharaoh's servants said to him, how long shall this man, verse 7, be a snare to us? Let the people go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Don't you know yet that Egypt is destroyed? And verse 8 says, Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to them, go serve your God, but who's going to go? Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks and our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. And he said, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you. He's saying, I'll let part of you go, and your little ones. Moses says, not so. Pharaoh says, not so. Go you now that you are men, or go the men. I'm not going to let the young ones go. And serve the Lord, for you did desire. That's what you wanted. They were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. In other words, I won't let all of you go. I'll just let the men go. Well, the locusts came into the land. To make a long story short, verse 16 says, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, because the locusts were everywhere. Every place you looked was locusts. You couldn't see the ground. He said, listen, everyone, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Verse 17, therefore forgive, I pray you, my sin only this once, and beg the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. He went out from Pharaoh and begged the Lord, and the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind and took the locusts away out into the sea. But the Lord strengthened Pharaoh's heart so that Pharaoh would not let the children of Israel go. And now we have, right here, another no warning plague. Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, verse 22, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt, 3 days. And when they could feel it, it was so dark. And Pharaoh called, verse 24, Moses said, go and serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds stay here. Take all the people, we'll keep all the animals. Because remember, most of ours were killed in some of the plagues. Let your little ones go with you. You take all the men, women, and children, servants, but keep the animals here. Moses said, you must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord. Our cattle shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind. Moses will not compromise. I think we could learn a lesson. Don't compromise in the Word of God. He says, we're not leaving a hoof here. Either all of us goes or more trouble comes. The Lord strengthened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let him go. And Pharaoh said, get you from me, take heed to yourself, see my face no more, for in that day that you see my face, you shall die. And Moses said, you have spoken well, I will see your face no more. Very quickly, and I know I've taken a long time, but it's okay, you'll be all right. God has just shown you and Pharaoh and all the children of Israel, he has just shown you that he is more powerful than all the gods they worshipped. The sun god, the moon god, the rain god, the god of the clouds, the god of the flora and fauna, the little birdies. All those gods they worshipped, the god of the Nile, God overpowered and destroyed each one of them to show, I am the Lord God, there are no others. There's nothing out there, just me. When they use some of their little tricks, we can do this, we can do that. God says, okay, I've had enough, I'm through playing. And all of a sudden they said, well, we can't do that, you better. This is God, this is some sort of God. We're messing with power here. Even the magicians couldn't do it.
And God says, every one of the gods you worship, I have shown you I am powerful and I am over all. Now let my people go.
Think about this before we do chapter 11 real quickly, and then we'll praise God. 9 plagues you have seen. Water to blood, frogs, lice, flies, disease among the animals, boils, hail and fire, locusts, and darkness that you could feel. Pharaoh's still saying, I don't care. What does God need to do to you? What more does He need to do to get you to begin to listen to His Word, to begin to do what He says? Now, I'm going to throw something in here that you may think is weird, but I'm going to spend just a minute on it because it's important, because it's our whole society. How did Moses feel? I mean, aren't you worried about Moses' feelings? You're worried about yours. Trying to get in touch, you know. Trying to own that feeling. Aren't you? Nothing personal, but women, I mean, how do you do it? The Bible says you're created like we are. You say you're all emotion. How's it done? Men who have none, how do you do it? How did Moses feel when he was lied to, cheated, he was mistreated, he was verbally abused? Oh Lord, there's a biggie. How did he handle it? Think about it. You think I'm making fun? I am. It's our society. It's where we are at today. It's all we care about. And we are told, learn how to deal with it. Learn how to just, you know, you got to just give it and get it out and get baloney. Do you see that in Scripture? It's not there. You've bought, listen closely, a false gospel. It's not there. But what if my feelings are hurt? Well, they're hurt. And they're real. And they're there. And is there a way to deal with them? According to Scripture, there's a way. It's no gimmicks, no tricks. How did Moses feel when he was made fun of? Well, how did he feel when he was doing what was right and all the people turned against him and called him names? How's he going to feel when they're going to want to murder him just because he's doing what God says? How did he handle the emotions? I think it wasn't important. I think he simply said, you told me to do this. Give me what I need to do it. How did he feel when he says, yep, God called me. I'm going to lead you guys out of here. I'll go tell Pharaoh. He tells Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, nope, put him to work harder. How did he feel? Oh, man, he must have been crushed. Maybe he was so totally defeated. Maybe his self-esteem was so low at that point that he couldn't go on. And if it was, how on the earth did he get it back up to go back the second time? Well, I'll tell you, I don't think it was a question of his self-esteem. I don't think his self was even an issue. I think he had decided long ago, I saw that burning bush. Man, I saw God. I will follow Him the rest of my life. What if it doesn't feel good? I'll just have to live on His strength to get me through. Well, what if you're embarrassed? I'm going to have to rely on Him. Well, what if it's hard? What if it feels bad? What if you have to go 10, 20 years, 30? What if Jesus comes back today and I don't even have to worry about it? I wonder sometimes. Moses did not know how many plagues there were, did he? Are you trusting God? Or are you believing another gospel? That you're supposed to go back to your womb, to your mother's womb, and straighten out that pain? Are you really believing that? That you're supposed to handle something that's been going 5 years ago, so-and-so hit me. And I got to deal with that. You know how many times I've been hit in my life? I'd be dealing a long time. I'd live back there. You know how many times I've gotten my feelings hurt? Yes, men have feelings. One. And you know how many times they get that hurt? And you know what you would do if you had to deal with that? How many times should you forgive your brother? Every time your brother offends you. Every single time. How many times should Moses forgive the people for not being obedient,
for not listening, for not trusting. Every single time. How many times has God forgiven you? The only time that you are not dealing with something is when you are holding it, meaning there's no forgiveness. Let it go. Forgive from your heart. Jesus says it best when he says, if you do not forgive from your heart, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. I have to forgive from my heart. Bottom line, period. You start over every day. If you can't start over every day, you've got to be miserable. And yes, you could say it. The last 20 years, 30 years of your life probably have been miserable because you haven't been walking in the Spirit and you haven't been walking in the true gospel. And I bring that up because I always think, what about Moses? Nobody cares about Moses. Nobody cares about how he's feeling. I mean, who did he go to talk to? God. And you know what? Earlier on I said it. Is God enough? I am the Lord. Look at this. The Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go. When he shall let you go, he's going to throw you out, not just ask you to leave. Speak now in the ears of the people and let every man borrow of his neighbor, every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight. So they're going to borrow and they're going to walk out with jewels. As a matter of fact, God said that to Moses a few chapters ago. I'm not going to let these people, they've worked for 400 years, they're going to be paid for it. And look at this, pay attention when you see this. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus, verse 4, thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt. This is important because there have been 9 plagues. Now look what's coming. Moses and Aaron are going to have nothing to do with it. All 9 plagues, they used the rod, they took dust, they called out to God. But at this point, they don't do it. God says, I will go out to the midst of Egypt. And I'm going to kill the firstborn. I will destroy the firstborn of the maidservants behind the mill, or he that sits on the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits on the throne, or even the firstborn of the maidservant that sits behind the mill, the firstborn of all the animals, the firstborn I will destroy. I, the Lord, will go out and do it myself. You know something? Those of you that have heard of the goddess Isis, she was the sister and the wife of Osiris. If those of you that are into this God stuff. She was to the Egyptian, listen, she was the protector of children, the defender of children. She was the goddess of the defender of children. God says, I will personally go out and destroy the firstborn. Who will stop him? Not Isis. For he is almighty and he is the Lord. And you're going to see Pharaoh's tune change here. But against the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast. In other words, dogs won't bark or attack. There won't even be any movement where the Israelites are at. And verse 8 says, and all these thy shall come down to me, bow down themselves to me, saying, get thee out, all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And Moses went out from Pharaoh in great anger. When Moses told Pharaoh this, Moses says, that's it. I'm out of here. It's over. By the way, guys, this was Pharaoh's last chance to repent. There comes a time when it's your last chance to repent. This was Pharaoh's. The Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh shall not listen, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord strengthened or hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of the land. God says, I will go into the land of Egypt, into the midst of Egypt myself. You see these plagues, and as we praise God, ask the Lord, what is your life all about? Maybe you're the most miserable man or woman or kid in the entire world. Maybe yours is the worst life ever been given to anyone. Usually it is when you talk to someone who's miserable. But I see in the Word of God, through what God is showing, mercy. Mercy.
I'm going to do this if you don't repent. I'm not going to repent. Well, I will do it. And when it happens, God says, no, you know what? Let my people go. If you don't, I'm going to do that. I won't let you. But you can't stop God. God has called you and I to be simply faithful by the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you say, I'm hurting, I'm crushed, I'm being destroyed. And God says, but I am the Lord. The answer is in me. The answer is at the cross of Jesus Christ. The answer for you and I in every situation is to say, in this situation, I must humble myself. I must bow down. What if so-and-so keeps hurting me? What if so-and-so keeps laughing at me? What if they all? I must listen to the Lord my God. He is the Lord. He's Almighty. The answer is so easy, but you see, I'm afraid to give up my self-esteem. What am I supposed to do? Lay down and walk them on my back? No. Lay down on your face at the foot of the cross and say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Job says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Yeah, but it hurts. That's what he said. He said, I am miserable. Well, then why don't you confess? No, I belong to him, whatever he wants. John the Baptist, they said, we're going to cut your head off if you don't shut up. He said, I can't shut up. God wants me to talk. It's going to hurt. Well, it'll be fast, I hope. And all of us, if we're not careful, buy into this 20th century philosophy of all you need to be is comfortable. Just be comfortable. If you're comfortable, then you're walking with God. If you're comfortable, everything's fine. If you're comfortable, it's okay. If you're uncomfortable in any way, get comfortable. And God says, wait a minute, follow me. You say, I am so heavy laden, I'm being crushed. Well, come to me, all you that are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. And people say, no, I don't want that. But I'm going to send fire and hail and it'll burn you. I don't care. No. The answer is Jesus. You cannot do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it. As we praise, if you want prayer, one side or the other, come on up. Someone will pray with you. If you're embarrassed about that and don't want people to see you, fine, that's cool. Stay right there. Cry out to God. But let tonight be the night that you just say, look, I am yours. If you want to throw me in the trash, do it. If you want to put me on the roof, do it. Just do something with me and the rest of my life I'll walk with you. Give me the strength, give me the courage, give me whatever, but I want to walk with you. Let's bow our heads together as we praise. And I know we've taken a long time and I don't want you to be bored, but I really, really see a need for you and I to begin to put more trust in His Word and less trust in the world's Word. Father, help us.